From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Monday, April 27th, 2026. On today's show, we look ahead to Idaho's primaries as counties in the Panhandle prepare to begin early voting. Plus, Washington high schools have the chance to get free suicide prevention training, but almost no schools east of the Cascades are participating in the program. And if you want to put an initiative on Idaho's November ballot, you'll need to turn in valid signatures from more than 70,000 Gem State voters this Thursday. We'll hear from one organization looking to legalize medical cannabis in the state, even as lawmakers ask citizens to amend the state constitution so only the legislature would have that power. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Early voting for Idaho's primary election begins today in many counties. With all 105 legislative seats up for grabs, James Dawson has more on a few specific races to watch.
Last election cycle's most expensive legislative race could be in for a repeat. It'll be the third time Senator Jim Woodward and former Senator Scott Herndon have faced off for the Republican nomination in North Idaho's District 1. Both candidates have raised about $75,000, with the more conservative Herndon slightly ahead. Staying up north, Representative Lori McCann has outraised her seatmate, Senator Dan Foreman, nearly four times over. She aims to undo the gains the far right have made in the Idaho Senate in recent years. Speaking of conservative gains, each member of the so-called Gang of Eight are having to defend their seats after one term. Senators Josh Cole, Glenita Zeiderveld, and Christy Zitto, along with Representatives Lucas Kaler, Clint Hostetler, David Levitt, Kent Marmon, and Faye Thompson face more moderate challengers. The group has been steadfast in opposing increased state spending and supporting a conservative social agenda. Challengers have outraised half of the incumbents so far, with a few weeks left to go until Election Day. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
Early voting begins a week from today in Bonner, Latah, and Kootenai counties. Republican voters in District 1 will see a second familiar matchup. GOP Representative Mark Sauter is again facing a primary challenge from Jane Sauter, no relation. The incumbent Sauter says he's focused on wildfire risk reduction, lowering homeowners' insurance rates, and improving healthcare access, including women's health. His challenger, who's garnered the endorsement of the Bonner County Republican Central Committee, says her opponent is taking the district towards liberalism, and that her priorities include cracking down on illegal immigration and eliminating the state's grocery and property taxes. Idaho's primary is May 19th. Tomorrow is an education-related election day for many voters in Spokane and Stevens counties. Voters in Spokane's East Valley School District will cast ballots for a second time on a $220 million bond issue. The district wants to build new middle and high schools to replace facilities that are around 60 years old. The Nine Mile Falls School District is proposing a five-year capital levy to improve Lakeside High School. Four Stevens County school districts are running operations levies to replace expiring measures, Colville, Mary Walker, Valley, and Wellpinit. All would pass with simple majorities. Also on tomorrow's ballot in Stevens County is an operations levy for the library district. The district is asking to increase the levy from 27 cents to 44 cents. Library officials say inflation is driving up the cost of operations, meaning a levy failure would result in cuts to staff and services. High schools across Washington have the chance to get free suicide prevention training. But as SPR's Eliza Billingham reports, almost no schools in eastern Washington are taking advantage.
Data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show suicide is the second leading cause of death for young people in Washington. Forefront Suicide Prevention is an independent nonprofit housed at the University of Washington. It's been offering training to high school students, educators, and parents for more than a decade. A few years ago, it was approached by the Jed Foundation, a mental health wellness nonprofit out of New York City. Together, they offer 20 schools across Washington a three-year suicide prevention program for free.
My most active and, in my mind, my most successful school is at Wilbur Creston out in Wilbur, Washington.
That's Forefront Mental Health Specialist Sam Pacumpera talking about a rural school in Lincoln County.
When I visited them for the site visit, we talked a lot about how the students know each other really well, but how can they sort of change the relationship that students have with one another in a way that feels like school is that third place or that safe space. If someone was having a hard time, that anyone who walked by them would help.
Wilbur Creston was the only school on the east side of the state to finish the program in that first cohort. Forefront and Jed are partnering again, this time offering the program for free to 30 schools. Pecumbura, who's from Nine Mile, wants to get more Eastern Washington schools involved. She says there's no hard deadline to register, but programming will start at the beginning of the fall and winter semesters next school year. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
Decarbonizing the Washington state economy could save billions of dollars over the next 25 years, as well as help fight climate change. That's one of the conclusions of the state's new climate action plan. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
State law requires Washington to cut its climate pollution in half by the year 2030 and kick its carbon habit entirely by mid-century. The new plan says the state's efforts need to accelerate to meet those deadlines. State officials say key strategies like adopting electric vehicles and heat pumps will save money by lowering energy bills for households and businesses. The plan recommends ways to reduce pollution from every sector of the economy. Meanwhile, conservative critics at the Washington Policy Center say the state is misspending revenue raised from oil refineries and other major polluters. The Policy Center says revenue that is supposed to fight air pollution is instead supporting advocacy by community groups with little effect on pollution. I'm John Ryan reporting.
When Idaho voters go to the polls this November, it's likely they'll see two ballot measures related to the same subject, cannabis. One, put forward by the legislature, would change the state constitution to revoke the ability of Idahoans to legalize cannabis or any other drug by ballot initiative. Only the state legislature would have that power. The other measure would legalize medical cannabis for people with debilitating conditions like cancer, post-traumatic stress disorder, or AIDS. I sat down with Amanda Watson from the Natural Medicine Alliance of Idaho, the organization behind the second initiative. They're still collecting signatures ahead of a deadline this week to qualify for the ballot this fall. So right now, cannabis isn't legal in any form in Idaho, unlike many of its neighboring states, like us here in Washington. Can you lay out what medical legalization for cannabis would look like under your proposal?
This program will have pharmacist oversight. Physicians and medical providers do not prescribe cannabis in any state because of the federal designation, but this is a great time for this interview because the Trump administration moved marijuana from a Schedule I drug to a Schedule III drug, so that will likely change the environment quite a bit. However, for our initiative, you would need to have a recent, so within the last year, medical diagnosis for one of the conditions that are listed in the initiative. We kind of copied that language from Utah after getting a bunch of feedback and kind of what ailments, if you will, this medicine is most effective for. And you can find those on our website at naturalmedicineallianceofidaho.com. There's a dropdown of the different conditions that would qualify for. So you would still have pharmacist oversight, and there's a pretty restrictive distribution format in this initiative. So only a few licenses in the state of Idaho to make sure that this doesn't, you know, go rampant like wildfire, like we've heard people concerned about. So it's pretty restrictive. You'd need an active diagnosis, and a pharmacist would oversee the entire process.
Speaking of people's concerns, a lot of Americans have been taught, starting in grade school, that cannabis is something to be avoided. So what do you say when people raise concerns about legalization of any kind?
I would say, you know, we absolutely respect and understand people's concerns about cannabis or marijuana in general. We were, like you said, Owen, taught that this was something that would ruin our lives, right? Like I personally have never encountered a black hooded creature in an alleyway offering me drugs, but we were kind of taught that that's what it would look like, right? And I think that there's just some long-term fear, right? We're learning more and more and more. And now because of this reclassification, we'll be able to do pretty extensive research on cannabis. But as we've learned more, it is certainly not this nefarious, you know, concerning substance that we were sort of led to believe in decades that have passed. Much more concerning, in our opinion, is opiates that are prescribed for pain management. There are still thousands of people who die from opiate addiction and overdose every single day in this country. And while we kind of got a handle on how dangerous those drugs are, we still don't have a good alternative. So people who are going through cancer treatment or they have severe PTSD or brain injury, they just right now are kind of left with that as their only option or nothing. We're not here to tell people that it's absolutely ridiculous that they're concerned about it, because we were taught all of those things, right? Like, this has been in the public narrative for a long time. We just didn't know as much as we know now. And now we know that it can be very effective in treating some of these conditions. And we think that the voters of Idaho will agree with us.
Well, to ask voters whether or not they do agree, Idaho requires anyone who wants to put an initiative on the ballot to get a certain number of signatures. Where does your organization stand on that front?
So in the state of Idaho, we have to have over 70,000 valid signatures, but we also have to have 6% of the voter base in every Idaho county, so 44 Idaho counties. We feel really confident that we're going to make it. We will not take our foot off the gas, no matter how confident we're feeling, because we know that this is potentially one of the last times that this could be on a ballot for a citizens initiative. Polling at the outset of our project indicated that 83% of Idahoans, of likely voters, would support a medical cannabis program. It's pretty counter to the narrative that we've been hearing on the opposition side. And we just want to make sure that we get this on the ballot so that the voters of Idaho can make their voices heard.
Yeah, speaking of that opposition, there is a competing ballot measure that would take this out of voters' hands. What's your organization's response to that?
I will just say, I find it disappointing that elected officials want to take democracy directly out of the hands of their constituents. This is one of the greatest levers of democracy that we have. I honestly just find it disappointing that that would be something that they would want to take out of option for their constituents.
Amanda Watson is the communications lead for the Natural Medicine Alliance of Idaho, which aims to put a measure on the November ballot to legalize medical cannabis. The organization's deadline to file signatures with the Secretary of State's office is this Thursday. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by James Dawson, Doug Nadvornik, Eliza Billingham, John Ryan, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.